Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to once again welcome everyone in here to our weekly visit with you and in your homes here on 101.5 Kix. Oh, wait, take that back. We're still on one on the other one, but we'll get our other tower back up here before long. We're on the WTKY today, so again, but with that, we'll be starting our show here in a few minutes. Got a couple of special guests on the way up. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the nominations for the Sports Hall of Fame and and some other things, I'm sure, and we'll be getting that here in a few minutes. And also today we'll have our list of the birthdays and anniversaries, and just got lots of things going on. And we will just finished last weekend. We had our little celebration here around the square with our merchants. I had quite a few folks come into town, and we really appreciate all of them. So, and we really appreciate the folks who make this show possible here each Thursday morning, that being the Clay County Chamber of Commerce, and also the Three Star Committee and all the great folks that sponsor the show here. And if you'd like to be one of our sponsors, you know, just give a call and take care of that and get you on the list with us. And with that, I know we've got some things to talk about, but right now we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposits. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, we're glad to be able to be here this morning, sitting here in the corner room of the historic Clay County Courthouse. Got the fireplace all fired up. It's getting a little cozier in here. I know the past couple of days, the temperature hadn't been too bad. We just got a little bit of moisture, but we're still afloat here. We hadn't flooded out anywhere, I don't reckon. But we're thankful we're able to be here. And we've got, like I said, we're going to be talking today about the Sports Hall of Fame and the nominees for this year and that type of thing. And we have, I know we've got a couple of things, special announcements. I know basketball season has started. Both our boys and girls basketball teams are off to a great start. Of course, it's right now about time for the Christmas break when they'll be playing in Christmas tournaments and traveling. But also we got one of our special athletes had an honor this past weekend as Mr. John Hamilton from the football team, who was selected to play on the East-West All-Star football team, state football team, and he participated in that. We'd like to congratulate him for that, and looking forward. I think he may be coming back next year, but I know we just finished up with our football, started our basketball, and it's right now about Christmas break time, so just lots of things going on here. I know we've got the merchants are having some special sales and things going on here in and around the square, so you need to come out and take part in that. And we're here at the courthouse and in and around. We have received our grants again this year for the courthouse, we're working on our Rolly Ho Marble Museum in conjunction with the folks over there in Monroe County to get our Rolly Ho Marble Museum up and going this coming year. And also we have received another small window grant where we can keep working on our windows here. Look like Mutt and Jeff just came in. Of course, most of y'all don't remember who Mutt and Jeff are, two old cartoon characters in the paper from many, many years ago. But they come running in like maybe a pair of old broken-down quarterbacks. Welcome, guys.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having us on, Thomas. Always enjoy it.
And I know we're right in the season for... I guess is the date closed for accepting applications for?
It'll close this Friday. Close.
Okay, so you still got time to get your. And I guess one of the things that if you have someone that you would like to nominate and you hadn't been able to get all of your stats and things together, I think if you'll get the guys just the names and they'll get with you and help you to find some things about them. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on there. And
yeah. Of course, Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, I think we've had 12 prior classes. Started back the inaugural class in 2010. Of course, folks like yourself, Coach Watson, and Bobby Westmoreland, some guys that envisioned this and put it together from the ground up, and me and Thomas are privileged to just make sure it continues each year. You guys established a good format that's in place, and yeah, public nominations, throw out any names that you have. Information is appreciated, but we try to dig up some information as well to supplement any applications. And Thomas and his group at the newspaper have been instrumental in this. Thomas, you guys handle everything from the website to the online voting process and all that, so it's a pretty good format these days.
Yeah, it is. It's simple to do a nomination. Just like you said, Daniel, you know, we depend on the public to make those. Anybody can do it. If you know someone that you feel is deserving of to be a member of the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame or to be considered for it, you know, it can include athletes, coaches, administrators, support contributors, what we call heritage members, which are those that have, from 50 years ago or longer, just about anyone. But we do rely on the public to make those submissions. We don't come up with names ourselves to be nominated for this. So that's what's important about it, Thomas. And as far as nomination goes, it's as simple as sending an email to ClayCoSports, HOF, I'm sorry, nominate at ClayCoSports.com. And on the website, there's a form you can fill out to make nominations. You can write something down on a piece of paper, drop it off at Clay County High School. It can be that simple. So, Coach Watson, we've tried to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah, you know, that's, I know lots of folks think there's like some kind of big process, because I know I received some, you know, people calling, well, how do I go about getting someone nominated? I said, well, you basically go online, and if you don't know that that IP address, just, you know, type in Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, and they'll send you right where you need to go and tell you from there. And I said, you know, and they'll, like you said, they'll help you find stats and things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, guys, looking back, a little history today. Why don't we do a little bit of history? Because I don't know. I'm sure both of you guys use newspapers.com to do research on. And I know it's amazing when you look back through the years of the history of different types of athletics here in Clay County. And I know I just threw one out the other day. I had to put a date down. Salina High, and a date range from, I guess, 1942 or something or other. And you get, if you look real close, you get everything from box. And I ran across a little beep of our semi-pro baseball team that was playing in a state tournament down in Nashville in the 1940s. Got beat by DuPont, I believe, pretty good. But the only thing mentioned about Salina was the score, and that Overstreet for Salina went 2-for-3 at the plate.
So, pretty good day.
Yeah, so and then you go to find, well, which Overstreet was that, and that type of thing. But, and I don't know, the celebration itself this year?
It'll be, right now, tentatively, we've got it planned to inaugurate that class on Friday, January the 20th.
That's right.
The home basketball game, I think, against Ribbon Springs. There will be a small inauguration banquet's the wrong word, reception, that's held at 4:30 in the cafeteria for the inductees and their families, and then they'll be officially inducted at halftime of the girls' game. Now, many folks might remember those inaugural classes 2010 through probably 2013-14, those first four or five classes that included 15-plus members in each one. There was a formal banquet that was held, and those were great events. But the committee has set a cap on the number inducted each year. It cannot exceed five, and it could actually, we could see a year that the committee said there will be no members inaugurated this year. That's never happened. I don't anticipate it happening. But max of five these days to ensure longevity of the hall, so it's not a full-scale banquet, more of a small reception for, and it is open to the public. Anybody could come to that reception at 4:30 on January the 20th to visit and just have some fellowship with these people that's going to be inducted and their families.
And like I said, it's at the cafeteria down at the high school prior to the ball game. And I know we missed, what, how many, 2 years that we didn't get to do anything down there?
And yeah, we inducted two classes together last year. Obviously, in January of 21, we did not do the induction. We had the class of 20 during the COVID year, but we didn't feel it was fitting to the inductees of the class of 20 to have attendance limited the way it was in January 21, so we put that class off and inducted two classes last year. The class of 20 and the class of 21 was both inducted last year at halftime, and that worked out well.
And, you know, I know, you know, looking back through some of the older fellers on there, it sometimes it's hard to find a lot of statistics, and there's lots of names that come up, and I'm wondering, have I think we have talked a little bit about this at some of the meetings, and that is maybe, you know, trying to have a special induction for a special team, that, you know, there's really not enough information to really pick out. It's hard to pick out maybe one player off of that team that was spectacular. A lot of them had more than one team.
Well, that's true. And, you know, you get into certain scenarios where a whole team individually had great success. Or not individually, but a whole team overall collectively, I meant to say, had great success. But maybe you go through the list and nobody jumps out. But, yeah, that it's never been done. We've not inducted an entire team before. They've been honored in some of those banquets. I remember the 68 Blanket Bowl team was honored one year at the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame banquet. But, yeah, that's an interesting thought that maybe the future could hold something like that.
Back to the nuts and bolts of who's eligible. I don't think I got that.
Okay. Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Athletes who've been out of high school for 10 years are eligible for the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. Those whose careers were largely based at least 50 years ago fall under the heritage category. And then the contributor category includes administrators or people who are involved in the same capacity besides coaching or playing. So that kind of outlines who is eligible. And the other thing you touched on there is, you know, it can also be nominations for folks that didn't play high school sports. We've seen several of those things, marbles, whatever, you know, things of that nature. So it includes any athletic type Clay County
High. Yeah, right. I think of two just right off the top of my head that are already in. Wendell Cherry for his world-class skeet shooting. And you've also got Randall Redmond Arms, primarily, I think, based on his men's softball career that he had that was so great. Of course, Coach Watson, you could tell everybody how big a thing men's softball was for so many years in this area. And, you know, so, yeah, it's not just high school sports. It can be anything. Billy Westmoreland obviously is in there. He was a great high school football player, but primarily in for his fishing, of course, and any competitive sport, absolutely.
You know, and I was I guess the manager of the softball league here for a number of years, and we had, I know, sometimes 12 to 14 high-pitch men's softball teams, and usually around 8 to 10 women's every year for years and years and years, each community. And, of course, we invited the folks from down Jackson County that wanted to come up or anybody around. And it was a big deal in those days. You know, one of the neat things, you know, about this county and early athletics, I know I've done just a little bit of research on it. It's hard to find a lot of things, and that is the kind of the division in the county here. When you down at Hermitage Springs, down there they played five-pitch softball and had some great teams down there. I think they played in an interstate league out of Kentucky and Tennessee down there. I don't know how many teams are in it, but I do know some of the, you know, some of the later players that played, and that was people like Jerry Denton. And I know we've got one Hall of Fame member that are from Hermitage Springs down there that played five-pitch softball, some of those guys. But then on this side of the river, we had the semi-pro independent baseball, which is kind of, you know, I thought unique here in the county that each part of the county had its own special sport. They're basically the same sport, but just really quite a bit different.
Right. House rules for whichever part of the county you was in.
But, you know, there's things like that. And, you know, and looking through these things, I know basketball season just started, and I just laid a piece of paper there in front of Daniel. And I know since I guess I was involved in some of them, in part of these things, but I laid out there the district champion, I guess the first district championship of Salina High School was in 1941. And I laid the schedule there, and I think this is the time. I hadn't gone back on Tuesday, let's do a later look, but I believe that they won the district tournament, played at York, beat people like York, Livingston. If you look down through the schedule, quite a potpourri of names down through there. And if you look down at the end, they won the district, but they lost to Jackson County in the unit.
Yeah,
tournament.
That's the way it's listed. More probably similar to what we call a region.
Well,
these days.
I think that there's something there. I think the state at one time, this is wartime, I believe that there was maybe a state tournament for
right.
a little while there, and they had the state divided up into three units, and each one of those units had 16 districts, like now where we have 16 districts all over the state in different classes. But I believe that's the way it was divided up, and there wasn't a true state champion then.
Looking at this schedule, Coach, you mentioned the season was ended by Gainsborough, 23-29, the score in that one. They've met them two prior times in the regular season. Salina High School won 24-23, and then the second regular season meeting that shows that Gainsborough won 27-26. So quite a feud there between the Blue Devils and the Golden Crusaders at that time.
Yeah, but you know that, and you know, looking at some of the names on that, I know we've talked a little bit about that before. There's some relatives from both of them. One relative, both of you guys on there.
Yeah, our grandpa, Billy Napier's on here, and Kevin Donaldson brought up one time in this picture. You've got Eddie Jelly Watson, whose grandson, Mac Brown, is the head coach at football coach at University of North Carolina. And you've got Billy Napier, whose grandson, Billy Napier, is the head coach at the University of Florida.
Right.
So that's pretty cool that Salina in this same picture, two grandsons coaching major football. So Salina has got a lot of great history, doesn't it?
Yes, they do. And like I said, we've had to take a little short break and come back. From the online yearbook and all that.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're here talking about the Hall of Fame, and I think Mr. Weaver has some more specific things to kind of
explain. Well, I just wanted to talk about one thing that's important to Daniel and I know was you guys, when you started, Coach Watson, is transparency of this entire process. You know, as we said, we don't decide anything when it comes to who goes into the Hall of Fame. It's an electronic ballot that is done online with a website that was set up by, of course, our father, Pro Bomo. We appreciate him doing all that work, Bob Weaver. But the way it works is over 100 previous Hall of Fame inductees, so the folks that are current Hall of Fame members cast their votes for these nominees. That's how they're voted into the Hall of Fame. And each year we publish on the website how all of the nominees finished as far as voting goes, so the public can always go and check that out on the website. They'll be ranked 1 through, if we got 20 nominees that year, they'll be ranked 1 through 20. If the committee decides to induct in 5, then you'll see the top 5 get in, so on and so forth.
And that is the only thing the committee does, is determine two things. Number one, how many members will be inducted in each year's class. As I mentioned earlier, a max of 5 has now been set, so it could be anywhere from 5 to none. And they also determine whether or not there should be what we call protection to a certain category. For example, if we had gone for 3 or 4 years and no Heritage member who had played more than 50 years ago had got inducted, there's a chance the committee would say, let's make sure the top, the highest Heritage member in the voting gets in this year. Because it is possible that those that played more than 50 years ago could be overlooked by some of the more modern-day voters. And every now and then that happens. But what we've experienced during our time with it, Thomas, is that the cream rises to the top, whether they're a contributor, a Heritage member, or an athlete or a coach. The voters go on, they read these bios that you put together, and they see the qualifications. And it's been our experience that regardless of what category they're nominated in, if they're a worthy candidate, they are usually voted in.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Daniel. And that's one thing about the, having the members vote on this. These are folks that care about Clay County sports. You know, they make it a point to do their due diligence before they vote by reading these bios, and you're right, it always turns out for a great class, including the ones that are deserving.
Okay, now you want to go through what we've got this year?
Yeah, right now, current nominees, there's about 16 current names, and I think a few more perhaps that'll be added. These nominations will be accepted through midnight on Friday. The committee will meet Sunday afternoon, I think at 2 o'clock, to determine how many people will be inducted into the new class. Then voting will start sometime the following week, perhaps a week from today. But current nominees that are in this year's class to be voted on, we've got several Heritage members, Faye Brewington, Ernest Burnett, James Harold Ram Collins, Tullis Crawford, Leon Watson. All those are Heritage members that would have played over 50 years ago. There's a couple of contributors who were on the ballot this time, Betty Jo White and Lincoln Wilkerson. Both of those are nominated as contributors. And then athletes and coaches, Megan King, Tyler Walker, Sherry Short Fox, John Godwin, Megan Hamilton Smith, Chad Watson, Charlotte Claiborne, Johnny Rich, Gary Spark Short, and Todd Upton are all athletes and coaches who were nominated this year. So, you know, got 16 strong candidates there, and at the most, 5 will come out of that group, and perhaps a few more nominees over the next couple days. So, we're going to have around 20 people that will be voted on this year. So I think the idea that we're going to run out of people to induct into the hall is a falsehood. I think setting that cap at 5 each year has ensured that moving forward, we're always going to have worthy members to be voted in each year, because with each passing, people become eligible. For example, we had an outstanding group of football players this year that in 10 years are going to be eligible for the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. And I dare say many of those guys that just wrapped up their football careers will be future Clay County Sports Hall of Famers. So there's always a new wave each year that are become eligible.
Yeah, I just mentioned about John Hamilton back earlier in the show, where he was a member of the East-West football all-star team this year.
He played well. I watched a lot of that. He played tight end during the game, had a nice catch, and, yeah, he looked the part for sure.
So that's a pretty good honor this year.
Yeah.
And I know we've had a number of people that have, you know, have participated. And golly, guys, a long, long time ago, I guess for a couple of years, I was one of the coaches on the All-Star basketball team that we had. I know Joey Cole played on them, and I can't remember some of the other guys, but a really great bunch of athletes during that period of time.
No doubt, no doubt. They put a sign on the map. Folks still talk about some of those guys.
And of course, that was a time statewide where, you know, we had probably at one time 6 or 8 NBA basketball players in Memphis there at one time, you know, from Hardaway to, there was just a whole big group of them down through there that we had to compete against, at least one of them, you know, in our class, and that was Sylvester Gray, but you know, it was a great time for that. But I tell you what, I'm going to read the birthdays and anniversaries, and we'll come back, and no telling where we may wander off here in a minute. But right now, celebrating a birthday this week was Mr. Ronnie Harper, Logan Carlisle, and we'll do a special shout out to Mr. Paul Boyce. He's celebrating a birthday, and Shauna Davis Smith. And then I've got one I want to mention over in Monroe County, special lady, Miss Greta Hale. And then also an anniversary for, this is one of my former students many years ago, Elaine Gross and Rich Linder had an anniversary. And with that, we'll take a little short break and we'll be back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, take this opportunity to welcome back everyone here to our show this morning. We're talking a little bit of sports, talking about the Sports Hall of Fame. And I think, Thomas, have you got something else maybe that...
Well, it just came up there in the break, Thomas. We were talking about someone. We didn't know if they were in the Hall of Fame already or not. And all you have to do is go to the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame website, which is ClayCoSportsHOF.com, or like you said, just Google Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. And there's a continuous member list that's searchable. There's a database of every member that is in the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame currently. All you have to do is search their last name. You can find out if they're already in the Hall of Fame, if you're wondering, and also see all the different classes and such there from 2010 all the way through 2021. So the website's a great resource. You can also see the bios of all of the current nominees. at this time. You can go back and check those out if you want an example of what is put out there for a nomination. Of course, like Coach Watson said, Daniel and I would do our best to try to add two nominations if we can. And again, you have until Friday to make submissions for this year's Clay County Sports Hall of Fame class.
And all this is kind of instantaneous now.
Yeah, you know, when it first started, I think the inaugural classes, I think you guys had to come vote in person. The members could vote on it, but they had to come and do it in person. And I think that worked well for those initial classes. But as the hall has grown, and I think there currently there's around 129 members that are in the hall right now. And it's just not feasible anymore. It would be great to, for everybody to come do it in person, but to ensure good voter turnout, so to speak, we do it through email. And I think we average around 70% voter participation in this, so that's pretty good. We usually try to individually reach out to them. We don't see the results, but we see if they have voted or not. And we remind folks, hey, you've got a few days left to vote. So voting will be wrapped up and done by midnight, New Year's Eve. And then on January 1, we'll know the new members. And Thomas will announce them in the newspaper first, and then they'll be inducted a few months later. So pretty much a month from now, we'll have our new class.
And have be ready then in February?
Yeah, January 20th.
Okay,
and
there we go.
Yeah, is when we'll induct them on January 20th, halftime of that girls' game against Red Bull and out at Joe Sims Gym. And you, if you're questioning when can I begin nominating people for next year's class, the class of 23, well, pretty much at 12:01 Saturday morning, if we receive an application after midnight this coming Friday, it'll just get rolled towards the next year. Though there is no window anymore. It's 365-day window.
Yeah, so nominations are being accepted, like you said, Daniel, year-round. The only thing we do is set a deadline for each class.
Yeah.
And how many folks did we have voting last year? You got about off the top of your head, you remember?
I think you said 70 to 75% participation, so you're looking at about, you know, close to 100.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty good course. You know, obviously a lot of the 129 members are already deceased, unfortunately. Yeah, around 70% on voting, so that's pretty active, I believe.
That's better than what we get in normal elections.
That's right. That's a good point.
So we're ahead of that. We're ahead of the national scheme a little bit. Okay, now, Daniel, have you been doing any research on some things you might want to talk about for a few minutes lately?
Well, the biggest thing, of course, you know, me and Thomas have the privilege of broadcasting football and basketball on the Del Home Rising Sports Network, and we've been pretty much in a football frenzy the last 4 months. Took his last couple weeks off, but most of the research that I've done has just been concerning these current seniors that just graduated from Bulldog football and where they stand on their all-time stuff. And as Thomas has put in the newspaper, you've got a beautiful edition of the Del Home Horizon this week. Got a special pullout that chronicles this state runner-up season that these guys had. But, you know, Joseph Markham, he ends up being the single-season rushing leader in the history of Bulldog football. Alec Kerr's the all-time receiving touchdown leader. Each of those young men scored over 50 touchdowns in their career, which is absolutely tremendous. To be on the same team with somebody else that did it very much, Tracy Strong, Jeff Arms, and Joey Coe in the mid-'80s, to have three prolific scores on the same team, we saw the same thing in football this year. That if those guys had played individually, there's no telling what their numbers would have been. But they had to share, so most of my research has been based around that.
You said the wrong word there. You said had to share. They got to share it with
right.
each other.
it does make the team better. That's a great point, because from a defensive standpoint, you know, I can't focus in on one individual when I know somebody else can beat me too. So most of the stuff I've done lately has been focused around that and just the amazing year these football guys have had as far as my historical stuff.
Well, have you on there, do you have the record, the former record holder?
Yeah, on some of that I can, receiving touchdowns, it was White Mabry. He was the former one on that, single season rushing. Before Joseph broke, it was Gary Davis. Gary had edged out Jimmy Crankola by 11 yards. Crank had 1,633 rushing yards during a 14-game season in 1985. Then Gary beat that. He had 1,644 in an 11-game season in 1993. And then Joseph this year ends up with 17-something. 1,781 and 30 rushing touchdowns. Of course, he got to play in 15 games. But that's just tremendous. So, Gary and Crank, both first and second class Clay County Sports Hall of Famers, very revered and respected here in the community when it comes to athletics, local legends, so to speak. So to talk about folks like Joseph Markham being right there with them, don't sleep on somebody just because they're a modern-day player. We've got greats here, just got done watching great basketball careers of Grant Strong, Tyreek Key. Some of the best players that have ever played in Clay County have done so in recent years or currently doing it. So it's just not all about the old-timers. We've just got to wait until these guys become eligible, in 10 years' time.
Well, you mentioned the name there, but one of the records who was broken, that was Gary Davis, who, I guess a lot of the folks here in Clay County don't realize that once Gary Davis left here, he blossomed even more than he did while he was in high school, went down to Tennessee State. Thomas, do you have some things about
that? You have to consider Gary Davis probably the most successful athlete that we've had
prior
to date with a career that's wrapping up. I mean, we've got a few careers that are wrapping up and some that are coming on, but right now as we stand, to me, Gary is the most successful athlete beyond high school at this point because he had a great college career. He was all OVC, all conference at NTSU, and, we've seen a lot of college players that play a little bit. Gary Davis
TSU or MTSU?
It was MTSU.
Yeah, with the middle. Late tight end. Of course, his tailback here in high school, of course, Gary, around 6 foot, 225 pounds.
Right.
They turned him into a tight end, and he was great down there.
Yeah.
And I think he topped it. He was about 6'3", 6'4" every time he graduated.
Yeah, good sized guy and made a perfect high level tight end. Really, I mean, at the time, Middle Tennessee has since moved up a level from the OVC, and they were kind of in that transition mode at the time. But in my opinion, as we sit today, Gary Davis is the most successful athlete from Clay County just because of his career in college that he completed. We had a lot of guys play college. We didn't have somebody play 4 years, make all conference.
Right.
So on and so forth.
And there's an inkling somewhere that maybe he was participated in some track down there, too. I don't know.
Possibly so.
I'm not sure, but I know. In the day when I was down there, I know we had track members that were football players, basketball players. I mean, there was a lot of, that swapping around where the coaches could talk them into doing spring sports and things like that.
One thing, and Gary's a good example of this, and you can rattle off quickly, Coach, a lot more. I know some of our most outstanding local athletes moved away and never have returned and have not stayed here. We hadn't had the benefit of their children playing here. Just a good current example right now, Seth Carlisle just wrapped up his career at Tennessee Tech. He's one of their all-time leading tacklers, I believe. And, of course, the son of former sign of high school standout and Clay County Sports Hall of Fame member John Carlisle. But didn't get to go to school here because John having the good fortune of selling insurance in Macon County, so goes to school over there. But we missed out on a lot of second-generation and third-generation athletes just due to couldn't hold them here locally. And a lot of good stories there, too.
Well, that's one of the stories that is the Neiman family that was here. And
Teresa, you had her in 38.
Ted Neiman's family, and that I know I had the pleasure of coaching Teresa Neiman for one season in basketball, and we, with her and the members of that team, we kind of turned the program around there for a day or two and made it to the regional tournament. And I know they had where that the family just they had to leave here and moved to back with some of their family out in I guess South Dakota, where they went to. And the next year out there, I know that Teresa. She was an all-state player, a high school All-American out there, and went on and played, I think, 4 years at South Dakota State. And I think she even played a little bit of European basketball after that. And she still had one more year of eligibility here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had a younger brother, Teddy, of course, Ted Jr., and he was a freshman on the same team with Darrell, Dwayne, and Rand. And at that time, he was about maybe he might have been 5'8", 5'9", played point guard for us his freshman year on the JV. And when he graduated from high school, I think he was like 6'7", and a tremendous basketball player. And he would have been on the team with those guys, the first team that went to the state tournament, which would have provided us a Sylvester Gray type guy to put in the ball game. So, you know, there's so many what-ifs through the years there.
Right.
But I remember especially that family, and I know we've had some other families that did that, had left here, and their sons became played college basketball, college baseball, a lot of those things.
We're talking about missing out on second-generation players, Daniel. You know, if you look at what Clay County High School's done in the last, I don't know, 2 decades with the, you know, basketball state tournaments for both the boys and girls, what the football's done, some of these other off sports and such, it's come from those second generation athletes.
Right.
So we may have missed some, but we sure had a whole lot of them going here. You know, you go, I don't know, it's been going on for a while.
Right, and you're exactly right. We see things in cycles, and it is a return of the children, the sons and daughters of a lot of our all-time greats. We've lost a few, but we've held on to more.
Yes,
yeah, no doubt about that.
But, you know, you mentioned cycles there, and, you know, the thing we were talking about a minute ago, the early basketball teams, we had a little cycle there of every 10 years there for about 30 years. In 1941, with Napier's on that and Coach Jelly Watson, I don't know how many years he coached down here, but it wasn't very many before he went up to Maple Grove. And then in 1951, and I believe that was the David Short team that won the district tournament. And I think in one of the games there, that was one of the games where David Short actually outscored the entire Livingston team one night. But, of course, and we read stories about him where he wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to have to play against people like Sparta and Murfreesboro, where they had the great big kids, they did a good job of shutting him down, where we never could make it past that region level. And then in the team 1961 that I'm very familiar with, and I was part of that team, you know, one of those unsung teams over the years that managed to start off losing, I think, maybe 6 out of the first 8 ball games, and then came back after Christmas and maybe lost 2 ball games the entire season after Christmas that year. Won the district tournament by beating a number 2 ranked York, number 2 team in the state that year. And when the thing about that too, the 1941 team, I know they had to beat York up at York in that one. The district tournament was at York. And then, of course, we had a little streak going there in 1962. We were runners up in the district tournament. But both of those years, we lost to Sparta, which was, you know, just a consolidated school for the entire county up there in White County. And we lost the 1961 game by a last second tip-in, which would have put us in the state tournament. And I think they were actually winners of the consolation that year in the state tournament.
And in those days, the district tournament was a little bit bigger than it is now.
I mean, no classification.
Right. You know, I mean, you're looking at maybe at least a region-type atmosphere, maybe even sub-state combined, in my opinion, what the district tournament was back in those days.
And we're looking at a little streak. I know Daniel and I were talking a minute ago. We had a little streak started there. In 1961, we won it. In 1962, we were runners-up. And then in 1963, the district tournament was held at the old gymnasium here in Salina in 1963. And we managed to beat York on a last-second shot that I think William Ross Cherry took that won that game. So we had 3 straight years there where we were in the finals of the district tournament. And then we hit a little drought, but we made another cycle because I think about 1971 is when, I know that's when I started coaching, and we started winning again.
Yeah, y'all got pretty good pretty quick.
Well, we had lots of great basketball players here, and know, we try to turn basketball into a fun outing for all those guys over the years. And but I know with them, since that time, you know, we have been, we have to have been the most dominant basketball team and one of the more dominant football teams in all those years since the 1970s.
Well, you know, I made the comment whenever I realized our guys were going to play for a state championship in football this year. That was the eighth team sports title game in the last 30 years. And of course, Mr. Sims first advanced to the title game in 92 with girls basketball. He's played for five state titles. Coach Edwards has played for two state titles, and now football's played for one. So eight team sports state title appearances in the last 30 years. I think that's a pretty strong statistic for our community. Feel really good about it. You see other programs like Clark Range, Jackson County, we know what they've done, but it's been in singular sports that they've had their success across all three major sports. We've played for a state championship in the last 30 years, and I think that's pretty good stuff.
No doubt.
And I think it's time to take a little break here. Get in a few more words from our sponsor before we wrap up today. We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposits. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Back, everyone. We've just been sitting here rattling on, and I know, guys, we've got a few minutes here to kind of wrap up things. Let's see what time it is, Gordon. Oh, we ain't got but about 5 minutes, don't look like. Golly, guys, time flies when you're having fun.
Well, I'll throw this out there real quick. It is sports-related. Me and Thomas were talking earlier. We'll start our basketball coverage on the Horizon Sports Network after Christmas. The teams have some games at home next week, the Clay County Christmas Classic. We're not going to be able to call that, but we'll be starting after Christmas to get announcements out in the newspaper about that. So if you've been wondering why there hadn't been coverage, and if there will be, yes, there will be. We've just been taking our holiday break. We take one, too. And part of it, honestly, we call 10 regular season basketball games. To be consistent with football in terms of our sponsors. We appreciate them, and we hate to tax them to death. You know, if we called every basketball game, it'd be a huge fee.
That's a big undertaking.
It would be.
Expensive undertaking for what's that big budget you guys have got.
Right. I mean, we could handle it, but honestly, you know, we hate to do that to our sponsors. Everybody wants to hear the tournament game, so obviously once we get district region tournament, we call every one of them. But, coverage is coming for this year's basketball. We got two outstanding teams. I look for them to make state tournament trips, boys and girls again. So, going to be a good, strong year basketball that we'll be covering.
And that's been standard for us. We've basically waited until after the first of the year to start calling basketball. So, looking forward to it. Like you said, two great teams. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know, you know, with the broadcast, all the basketball and the football games, it all goes real well till you get down to the real, really important games, and then the money folks come in then, don't they?
Yeah, we ran into that. You know, playoff football games, we had the opportunity to start having video for football this year. I know a lot of people enjoyed that. And we had sponsors. TWSWA charges you $750 to live stream video of a football game in the playoffs. And we had Eco Panels of Tennessee, H&H Auto Parts stepped up to the table. And in the third round,
Bank of Salina
covered it. And we had Upton Funeral Home lined up to do the semifinals. But the TWSWA said, no, we're going to send our own crew. So we didn't have the chance for that. So, yeah, Coach, the TWSWA likes their money. And
That's when you had to pay about $12 to get to watch the ball game.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you got to have a subscription and all that stuff. But, I know we didn't come on here to talk about the Horizon Sports Network, but we just want to say thank you to all our listeners and sponsors because, you know, if people weren't listening and they wouldn't pay in, it wouldn't happen. Of course, Coach Watson, you join us, have joined us in past years during basketball for commentary, and we appreciate you for that.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and, you know, looking forward to another great year in basketball. I know we've gotten off to a pretty good start so far and made it through getting our football players back on the basketball court, and I know that Keaton Arms had a good night the other night in the win against the Tennessee Heat. I'm not is that a group of private schools that get together and home schools rather?
Home schools.
And form their and
they're pretty good. Yeah, Coach Edwards had a lot of respect for them, and you know you mentioned Keaton there. He's going to be a hoss in there this year. He'll average a double double, and by season's end, he's going to be tough on the post. They're going to be a lot of fun. Five senior starters for the boys this year. Of course, Coach Walker has got a mixture of senior sophomores and juniors that start. So it's just great. Come on out. Weather's fixing to turn really cold next week. So just come to Joe Sims Gym and watch some great basketball this winter.
It's pretty warm in there.
Yeah.
All right. We got one more little thing here. We got our winner of today's birthday cake. Birthday cake, our winner of our birthday prize. We're not giving away cakes anymore. We got a prize out there, Mr. Paul Boyce.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Boyce.
Yes. And with that, I guess we just about finished up the day. And hey, glad to have you guys here with me. We'll get back together again before long. And I guess we could remind those folks that are on the committee that there is a Hall of Fame meeting this Sunday afternoon at 2:00 down at the high school. So, you know, if you're a member of that committee, get out and get down there and help get this thing going.
And also, nominations close Friday, so if anybody wants to nominate somebody for the Clay County
Yeah, make sure you get that in.
And get it in by Friday, tomorrow.
And there's a spot on the website to do it, and we'll get all this straightened out, and we'll have some news on this a little bit later. But right now, I guess it's time that we get the doors all shut down here, and we'll turn our fireplace down a little bit, and I'll put some Christmas music on outside, and we'll get ready for Christmas and get ready for the Christmas Classic next week. Just got all kinds of things going on.
And, Coach, thank you for all you do here at the Squire, all these events in December. Great stuff for this city.
Well, we enjoy everything, and we just enjoy everybody, I reckon, here. That's one of the greatest things we have, and that is the friendliness of all of our people here in Salina. And with that, I guess it's time that we get everything put away, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here on the Clay County Corner next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and also will be a rebroadcast this evening. I think we're still at 6, nothing interfering with us now, and we got the podcast on Dale Hall Horizon, where they get on there pretty quick after that, and I think they're labeled where you can actually find some of them if you want to. And with that, we'll say, good day, Clay County.